I guess to keep a schedule, we should be started right about now, and I guess anyway most of people who want to hear this are here. Anyway, the next topic will be copyright laws and right research. It will be in English, which unfortunately is my third language after Finnish and Swedish, so please try to understand me and ask immediately if you don't understand my Finnish dialect. Anyway, about me, I'm at the moment working in Helsinki Institute for Information Technology in a research program which is researching mobile intellectual property rights and digital rights management systems, and my research place is in University of Berkeley in United States. And the second reason why I'm here is because I'm a co-founder of Electronic Frontier Finland, and also looking forward to have one of the persons tomorrow who will hopefully create same kind of organization for European level. Anyway, about this presentation, I'm first going to give a short overview about intellectual property rights and when to go to situation in the United States, because it's actually leading the field in this area at the moment. And after that, I'm going to go to situation in the European Union, and at last I'm going to give some strategies for future how to keep coding legal. Okay, to start with some other forms of intellectual property than copyright. First, the most strongest and let's say classical form of intellectual property is copyright. Answer is patent, and it doesn't have so far so much effect to internet or computer software, because at least in theory, in Europe. Software patents are not valid. Unfortunately, the situation is most likely going to change in future, but it's not in the scope of this presentation. Another form of intellectual property which protects information is trade secret, but it's quite weak because it doesn't apply to third parties. For example, if a person makes computer software which has some trade secret in it, it's fully legal to reverse engineer that program and find out these secrets. Third intellectual property type is trademark. For example, Microsoft Windows or Linux are actually both trademarks. Linux is owned by Linus Torvalds, and if you want to make a commercial product which has a term Linux in it, you have to ask his permission. And now to copyright. First of all, copyright protects meant to protect art and literature. But as time has gone past, more and more areas have been added, and nowadays also computer programs, databases, and other this kind of things are protected by copyright. And it is not necessarily a very good idea, because copyright is originally not intended to protect ideas, but for example, in the case of computer software, it's copyright practically protects also ideas nowadays. And anyway, copyright gives to the author certain rights, and especially exclusive rights, which means that nobody else can reproduct, alter, distribute, or communicate to the public, which practically means, for example, that somebody is singing a song in public than the author without permission. And because of its nature, there has been always a conflict between new technologies which help to transfer the works or create new copies of the works. And content in industry or single producers have always tried to stop these new technologies, And for example, 100 years ago, the music industry was very worried that an invention called mechanic pianos or pianolas is going to destroy the music industry. So actually not so much have changed during the last 200 years where has been a copyright. The current problems are based on the fact that digital copies are, well, they are perfect, which means that after a legal owner of work has once published it, everyone else can make as many perfect copies as they want if there's no other kind of protections, and that's of course its problem if you want to sell products. And first way to solve this problem was a different kind of digital rights management systems, but the problem is that if you have a computer, it's very easy to crack this kind of systems, and therefore in 1996 in an international organization which is founded to protect intellectual property rights or World Intellectual Property Organization, in there was a treaty was signed which has a provision that every country which is a part of this organization has to change their copyright laws that way that digital rights management systems will be protected by copyright law. And United States, which has the largest content industry, was the first country to create this kind of copyright law. This package, which was called the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, has actually a lot of other changes too. But the most important change was to add anti-circumvention provisions to law. And David Nimmer, who's perhaps the most well-known legal scholar in the United States, commented the law that it's fiendishly complicated or extremely complicated, and unfortunately it's true, as you can see next. Okay, first of all, no person shall make a circumvention of these technical measures. But that's not only it. It's also illegal to make tools or offer services or any other way which would help or facilitate breaking digital rights management systems. And there's actually three criteria which define what kind of programs or services or components can be this kind of systems which are illegal. And number one is that the product is primarily designed for this purpose. For example, a software called DCCS, which decrypts the DVD disk, is typically this kind of product which is done for this purpose. And second criteria is that it has no other commercially significant purpose than circumvention. And the third one is that it's marketed as a circumvention device. So in more graphical terms, it's only illegal to break these systems with a single purpose tool. For example, a catapult used to be this kind of single purpose tool to breaking castle walls. But it's also illegal to provide these tools for users or whoever. And there's, I guess we won't see very well, there's also third provisions which makes it illegal to provide other kinds of tool which, for example, would convert digitally protected songs to MP3 forms. And same in graphical terms. And the difference between these two provisions, but the first two actually apply to access to work which is protected, and the third one handles the situation when user already has access to work but wants to do something which is not authorized by the copyright owner. And there's also a fourth provision which makes it illegal to remove any copyright management information. It's not illegal to make tools which would do this. In the United States, this is Digital Copyright Millennium Act, which is in the United States, and I'm going to next move to Europe.
Okay, maybe you can try just slow a little bit, because we're not going to run away.
Okay, sorry.
And I have two questions. What is DMCA and what is DRM?
Okay, sorry. DMCA is Digital Millennium Copyright Act, and DRM is Digital Rights Management. Or actually, digital rights management is just another term for copyright protection tool in practice. Okay, and in the United States, criminal penalties are quite strong. If you make this kind of programs, it means that you can end up in being at most in 5 years in jail. Of course, that requires that you do something very bad. And well, in general terms, of course, if you don't do it for commercial purpose, it means that only civil remedies are available. But in the United States, if you end up in court, the cost will anyway going to be huge. In normal cases, it's let's say at least $100,000 to protect you against a normal civil copyright suit. Okay, to make life a little bit easier, there are certain extensions in copyright law in the United States. And one of the most important one is the exemption for encryption research. And this exemption protects research which is made in the field of encryption science or in companies with product encryption products. This exemption is quite limited. First of all, it only applies if a person has first have a legal copy of a work, and after that he has to have a good reason to break the system. And thirdly, a person has to first ask permission from a copyright owner. This doesn't mean that if copyright owner says no, the research cannot be done. But anyway, the person has to give information to copyright owner what he's going to do with. And also, after the research is done, there are certain criteria how the information can be published or disseminated. And for example, if a person just makes a crack tool and puts it on his or hers homepage, it's most likely against DMCA. And also there are certain personal criteria, like this person has to work in university or has to be in some kind of official position and have an official training, which means that if you are just hanging at home without any background in this field, this exception doesn't protect you. And the third part of this exception is that it's legal to make tools to make this kind of research, and most likely even to sell this kind of tools. But of course, the audience to which these tools are sold is going to be limited. And unfortunately, this law is not anymore a theory. There has been so far one criminal case which is based on this law, and it has been against Dmitry Sklarov, or how would he pronounce. And it was based on the fact that Sklarov made practically cracked Adobe's e-book protections, and his company, a company in which he is working, Elconsoft, make a product which removes these protections. And Sklarov made a mistake to come to the United States to give a presentation about this protections, and it happened in DEFCON 9. And after he has given his presentation and was heading back to airport, FBI agents arrested him, and he spent almost one and a half almost 1 month in jail after the imprisonment. This case was luckily not very strong because Skularov had not made by himself anything illegal in the United States. It was the company in which he was working. And based on which charges against him were dropped quite recently. And another reason was that there was a huge protesting going on, in especially in the Bay Area. And this protesting also forced Adobe to drop its support to this case. And another a bit different case is so-called Felton versus Record Industry of America, in which Professor Felton and his team managed to find serious security faults in Secure Digital Music Initiative watermarks. And after he wanted to publish his findings, he sent information to the company which has made this watermark technology and also to recording industry, and they respond by sending a letter that if you publish this information, we are going to sue you. And also to conference, possibly sue the conference organizers. Of course, this kind of behavior is actually very stupid, because Felton, if anyone is doing legal research on this area, and other parties in publishing industry got scared that this would be an excellent case to turn down certain parts of Digital Millennium Copyright Act and force practically record industry to drop the suit. And later, Electronic Frontier Foundation, which is an organization which tries to protect users' rights in states, tried to get the judgments against Department of Justice and record industry to clarify this research exclusion, but unfortunately the court doesn't want it to hear the case. When there is a third case, which is I guess the most well known, which is the DVD case, but I think that I'm not going to go very deeply on this one, but basically in this case a program which removes the digital rights management system from DVD disc was found to be against DMCA, and also that it's illegal to link a page which has this information, not only to have the information on your own homepage. And now to European Union. At the moment, there is a copyright directive given in last May, which was a result of extreme intense lobbying efforts from different areas of industry, and luckily there was also some lobbying from European library associations and similar organizations, so the result is not totally unbalanced, and there are some actually quite good provisions for fair use. And let's go first through the text. So this directive has practically the same type of rules as the DMCA. But first of all, it's illegal to circumvent these digital rights management systems, and it's also illegal to make products which do this if they are first of all, marketed as such, or have only a limited commercially a significant purpose, or are primarily designed, produced, or adapted for this reason. And the system has to be effective, but it doesn't, or the digital rights management system has to be effective to have this protection, but this effective doesn't mean that it has to be strong against attacks, but just that it prevents normal user to accessing the work. or here you actually can read the definition if you. Okay. And as I said, there is actually quite a long list of fair use rights in the directive. For example, it should be legal for a private person to make private copies of works, or at least to give a country a possibility to have this kind of exception to national copyright law. But unfortunately, it was the Finnish government who managed to get this part to directive at the very last moment, which practically makes it possible to have any fair rights, because this sector is so wide that practically all works can be fitted in, or at least I believe in future you have, if you go to a bookstore, you have to sign an agreement so that also the books which you can have an access has this protection. So in practice it's possible that you can do anything against the digital rights management system without violating copyright law. Luckily there's one chapter in the preamble of the directive which has some quite positive notifications, but unfortunately this is just in preamble, which means that the national laws don't have to follow this one. And the first part practically says that it's legal to make, for example, music players which doesn't recognize watermarks. And the second part says that this protection shouldn't hinder anyway cryptography. What does this mean in practice is hard to say, because there is not yet any national laws which would implement this part. And there's also this digital rights management information removal ban, but it's not very important in that sense, but normally in order to be able to remove this information, you have to first remove the digital rights management system anyway. So this provision doesn't have alone so much of effect. And also one quite interesting part is that this copyright directive doesn't apply to software. There is actually an earlier directive made in 1992 which has also a provision which bans making this kind of circumvention tools, but it's much more limited, because it applies only if the sole intended purpose is to circumvent, which means that if product has any other purpose, it's legal to produce. Okay, and to sum up, with in United States, if you are working in a university as a legal scholar with a long background making this kind of research, you can most likely have a possibility to publish something about this system, or perhaps even to have a source code which would remove digital rights management protection. But if you are not part of any establishment, it's very certain that hacking is a crime in states with serious punishment. In European Union, the situation is still open, because there hasn't been any national laws yet, and there's actually still some time to lobby to have, for example, as wide research exemption as possible. And some strategies for the future. If you want to make a product which breaks the digital rights management system, it's actually possible to do it legally, as far as there's a certain other purpose for this product. For example, if you want to crack e-book, you should publish the result as a program which converts the e-book to Braille, which is the language which is used by blind people. And by doing it this way, it should be legal, and even if you end up being in court, it's you're going to get all the sympathies with your program. Instead of if you just publish information, this is how to crack ebook. It's most likely that result is same with Scholaro. And another possibility is that you produce tools for research or security testing, which is the second exception in DMCA. And at least in the United States, this should perhaps offer a legal protection. In corporate EU corporate directive, there isn't similar exemptions, so it's hard to say what kind of national laws will be, but I'm personally quite sure that some kind of exemptions for at least for security testing will be added. Okay, this is pretty much it. Thanks for your attention and thanks for your patience with my language, and if you have any questions, I'm more than happy to answer them.
In Germany, we have a law that it is allowed to publish a book that is published, but I can't buy anymore, that I make copies from this for my own personal use. If I can't buy this book anymore in other ways, I don't know how this is in America, but I see the problem to keep this right if it's a technical system that protects the property to make information available if it's not sold anymore. Is there any point in this laws on this? How to achieve information that is technically protected but not sold or marketed anymore?
Very good question, and unfortunately the answer is no. And for example, if a copyright owner or a publisher wants to publish this kind of material which is already in public domain, he or she can always add, for example, one new chapter which is copyrighted, and put this whole thing inside this kind of digital rights system, and after that it would be illegal anyway to crack the system. So in practice this means that all information which is protected by these systems will be unavailable forever, which is definitely against the original purpose of copyright. Any other questions?
I'm sorry if you covered this in your talk and I missed it, but we've made inquiries of the Patent Office in the UK, which is handling the implementation of the Copyright Directive in the UK. And a very important issue, which might be of interest here, is that the crucial question of whether the Sklyaroff-type offence is going to be a criminal offence or only a civil offence, so that a company can sue you but you can't be put in jail, that apparently is still undecided in the UK. So there is everything, if you like, still to lobby for. And I'd be very interested if other people knew what the position was in other European countries, because that is not defined in the directive. It is still ambiguous.
Yes, only thing what the directive says is that the protection has to be, or the sanction has to be effective. So civil remedies would be enough, but at least unfortunately in Finland there already is criminal sanctions, and I believe that in France the situation is the same. But actually, I'm not sure about how it's in Germany. Any other questions? Okay, thank you.